I am typically not a fan of when there is someone in a pulpit and they are obviously preaching to themselves, you know. I just think that that's just me, but I just it's like, you know, I guess I feel like if you're trying to teach me algebra, you know, or geometry, it's like I expect you to be proficient at algebra and geometry. You know what I mean? That's just kind of how I feel sometimes. And when Jesus was on this earth, right? When Jesus was on this earth and he taught people on this earth, people were marveled. People marveled at the way he taught because it says he spoke with authority, right? And you know, you can tell, you can feel it when someone knows that they know what they know. You know what I mean? And it's an effect. But I'll just have to disappoint myself today and upset myself today because I am definitely, in some sense, preaching to myself. And I pray that everyone here is able to be touched. I had an entirely different message. I was going to be trying to speak about revival and just kind of what I have seen, or what I feel like I've seen the Lord doing on this earth in these different ways he's been ministering revival through our nation and through, you know, the country as a whole. But he abruptly took that from me and said, "No, I think you're going to have to preach or share something else." And I'm just going to be sharing basically my own little testimony, my own little story. And I suspect that, you know, there are people here or watching online who may benefit from it. If you don't mind, let us pray. Lord, I just thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your word, for your spirit, and for your truth, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for this congregation. I pray that you move mightily throughout our congregation, Lord God, and that you help me as I express the things, the truths that you have placed on my heart, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. So, 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, "We walk by faith, not by sight." That is a beautiful thing to write on a social media post. In John chapter 3, verse 8, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, right? And he says there, where is it? He talks about the wind, right? He says, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes, and so is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Again, this is a beautiful sentiment, and it sounds like it belongs in a song or a poem. But I know, and I'm sure that some, you know, you guys know that sometimes our Christian walk doesn't feel so lovely, right? Sometimes. I know that sometimes we can be brimming with confidence, right? Sometimes we can know exactly, we can be certain of exactly where the Lord has taken us, right? So that we can be running and leaping and skipping and joying and whistling a tune as we race towards where we know exactly where the Lord wants us to go. That's sometimes. And then sometimes we might find ourselves in the midst of uncertainty. We might be unsure as to whether we took a wrong turn, right? Maybe I'm supposed to go in this direction. Maybe I'm supposed to go that. There seems to be a fork in the road. I'm not exactly sure, right? And that can be stressful sometimes. I know that for me, there have been times where I've been in the midst of uncertainty, not exactly sure where I want to go. But and just for the sake of making the decision, I'll go some way, right? And I know that God didn't tell me to go this way, but he didn't necessarily tell me not to go this way. So again, just to make a decision, I'll just say, "All right, I'm just going to go this way." And then it wasn't the way he wanted me to go. So he'll just kind of reel me back in, right? And he'll kind of place me on the right path. And I'm very thankful for that. But sometimes, hopefully not as often, I'm sure there are times where people feel like they are maybe left completely in the dark. Again, hopefully not as often as any other time. Now, I pray for this congregation. I pray over everyone that we have more times of certainty, more times of leaping and jumping and racing towards where the Lord has us. But as for these times of uncertainty and these times where maybe we feel left in the dark, I just have 2 points of advice, and that's what I'm going to go over today. And again, I'm just going to share my heart, share my own experience, my recent experience, and again, maybe we can all learn from it, right? So recently I found myself in sort of a fit of stress, just kind of feeling overwhelmed. I'm sure everyone has gotten overwhelmed. Is that right? It's not just me. And I want to say that I think I feel comfortable sharing my experience because I feel like we're all family, right? And you guys don't look like the judgmental kind of Christians, right? So just accept me, right? So I found myself in a place of stress, overwhelmed, kind of burdened by all these different priorities I have, right? I'm constantly juggling things, and, you know, being a father, being a husband, you know, it's all types of things, work and whatnot. And I typically don't complain. I don't think I'm a complainer, and I don't really like people who complain all the time. But when I do complain, God hears my complaints, and my wife hears my complaints, right? So I found myself talking to my wife and just expressing these things on my heart, right? Just telling her, just want her to understand, you know, maybe don't ask me to clean the bathroom right now because I'm got some things on my mind, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, so I'm just explaining to her, you know, I feel like I'm being worn thin, right? I have all these things on my mind. I have all these things I want to do. I got all these things I need to do. I feel like I don't have time for any of it. I'm expressing these things in the midst of me expressing these things to my wife. I get this image of myself and I'm laid back on a, you know, like a bench press, and I got this barbell over me, right? And I'm pushing up this barbell. And I'm literally doing this. I'm literally expressing these things to my wife, and I'm showing her I'm doing this, and I'm saying, you know, it feels like I have this weight on my shoulders, and I'm like, you know, it's just like I'm trying to push it up, and at this point, I'm just trying to hold it still so it doesn't crush me. You know what I mean? And I'm saying this, and I'm saying, you know, it feels like the weight of being a father, and your children, they're asking for all of your time and attention. You feel like you don't have the time and attention to give them. You know, it feels like your wife, you know, asks you to mow the grass, or to take out the trash or whatever it is. And it feels like the weight of, you know, your job, and you thought you was off for work, but then they call you in, or maybe you went to work and they don't need you and they send you home or something like that. And it feels like, you know, I got all these talents, all these gifts, all these skills, and I feel like I need to pursue, but I don't feel like I have the chance to pursue them because I don't have the time. And it feels like I'm at church all day, and I bring my children to church, and in the morning I'm at church, and in the afternoon I got a meeting, and then at the end of the night I got youth group, and I got to do youth group, and you know, it's 7:30 in the middle of youth group, and I'm trying to express the things of God to the youth, and they just want to ask silly questions and play around. And you know, I know, Brooke Soleil, if you're listening, I know it's just the boys, but anyway, it's 8:00 and I'm out of youth group, and I got to drive an hour in the dark because I live so far away from the church, and everyone's falling asleep in the car, and I'm driving them up by myself, and I get home, and I got to pull everybody out of the car and shuttle them into the house, and then I got to go to sleep just so I can wake up and work a physically intense job, and I just want to let it all go. You know? You get tired. I'm just saying, you know, I don't know how y'all feel, but sometimes you get tired and you get stressed. But in the midst of me sharing this with my wife, in the midst of me expressing this to my wife, and I'm literally holding up this weight, and I'm imagining it crushing me, and I hear the words, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." And I hear those words. And right then, I realize that I don't have an excuse to not overcome. I don't have an excuse to not push that weight up. And right then, I couldn't even imagine dropping this weight. If I wanted to, I couldn't even imagine dropping this weight, because if it is his strength, then I just don't have an excuse. Now, I want to say, understand, if God does indeed tell you to drop something, if he tells you to drop a weight, please put it down. But if God did not necessarily tell you to drop a weight, do not use him as an excuse. Okay? So, I understood what God was trying to get at. And I said, I abruptly left the conversation and said, I need to go pray. So I went into my room, right? And I got down on my knees and my hands and knees, and I closed my eyes and I started praying in tongues, and I'm praying. And in the midst of me praying, another image comes to mind, okay? And this image is me, and I'm standing in front of this great ice wall, this mountainous glacier. It's an ice wall. And I know that wherever the Lord is leading me, wherever he wants me to go, it's just beyond this ice wall. And I want to get there. I'm ready to get where the Lord wants me, right? I'm tired of all this stuff in front of the wall. I'm ready to get beyond that ice wall. So I say, all right, let's do this. And I pick up my handy dandy worldly pickup, axe, you know, my pickaxe, and I start chucking at the wall, and I'm just and I'm getting it, and little pieces of ice are coming off the wall, and it's little pieces of ice, and I'm just barely making a scratch, and I keep going until I get tired, and my strength is failing me, and I'm getting weak, and I'm sweating in front of this ice wall, and I stop, and I have to take a breath, you know. I'm looking at the wall, and I get back to it, right? And then I know that God is behind me. All the while, God is behind me, and he's looking at me, and he's expecting my trust in him, and he's expecting my patience with him as he, layer by layer, melts this ice wall himself. And I look at him and say, God, yes, I understand. But I'm going to help you out. And I keep going, right? And I keep chucking at this wall, and I keep going. I'm like, come on, God, I got it. We got it. And the little pieces are flying. I look at the wall, and I'm barely making a scratch, and I'm getting tired, and I'm getting stressed, and I'm getting overwhelmed, and I'm getting frustrated, right? Because I can't get where God wants me to go in my own strength. I can't do it in my own strength, and I'm getting tired, right? Now, we know where the scripture comes from, you know, when Paul says, or when Christ says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And this comes from 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. We know this is Paul, and he's dealing with this messenger of Satan, right? And a lot of, you know, people have said it's a disease. Some people say it's a eye problem or something. But then, you know, I believe we here at this church will say that it's persecution, yeah. Right? But either way, the point is that Paul was tired. Paul was stressed. Paul was beat up. Paul was fed up, right? Paul was weak, right? And he just wanted it gone. He wanted the Lord to strip it from him. But the Lord responds. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then this revelation, it inspires Paul. It encourages Paul. And he understands that the Lord is his strength. And he says, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. So I realized I had these images, and I realized that I have no excuse to not overcome. And so I get up. It was in the middle of me praying, right? And so again, I had my eyes closed and all of this, and so I stand up, right? And I open my eyes. And when I open my eyes, in front of me is my closet door, okay? And on my closet door, there's this little post-it note. And this is a 10-year-old post-it note, okay? This 10-year-old post-it note that came from my wife, my girlfriend then at the time when we were dating. She had this idea where she was going to, she got this mason jar, this big old mason jar, right? And she wrote 365 little personalized post-it notes and put them in a jar. And the idea for this mason jar was that every day for a year, I'd be able to, in the morning, pull out a post-it note, right? That's the idea. That was the plan. But this mason jar has lasted 10 years, okay? And that's because, you know, for me, it's like I take a note out when I feel like I need a note. You know what I mean? That's more valuable to me that way. And it's lasted 10 years. So I take out a note when I feel like I need a note. But anyway, so the closet door is in front of me, and this one post-it note is on the door, and it happens to be a Bible verse, and it's Psalms 46:1, which says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." And I said, okay, I understand, Lord. I understand what you're trying to say to me, you know. But I guess he didn't think I really understood. So when I made a right turn, I saw on my bookshelf, there was this coaster on my bookshelf. And that coaster said, it was Psalms 118:14, which says, "The Lord is my strength and my song," right? And I've always, I don't know if it's the poet in me, but I've always loved that phrase, "The Lord is my strength, the Lord is my song," right? That's just an interesting way to phrase it, "The Lord is my song." And I've always loved that. And what does it mean? I assume it means that the Lord is my confidence, right? It's like when I go out to battle, the Lord is my war song, right? I'm out here and in the midst of trials, in the midst of the tribulations, I'm going to sing, I'm going to praise him, I'm going to thank him for being with me, right? When in the midst of battle, I'm going to sing and his name will be on my lips. The Lord is my song, right? And in the scripture, we have many examples of this, especially in the Psalms, right? So in Psalms 59:16, it says, "But I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning, for you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble." And in Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2, it says, "I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High." And in verse 11, it says, "Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare his deeds among the people." In Psalms 95, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms, for the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods." And in Psalms 96, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day." Now, this concept, right, "The Lord is our song, the Lord is my song," it really resonates with me because I've told you guys before, as I've expressed before, that sometimes in whatever circumstances, whatever emotional or mental state I'm in, sometimes songs will just sort of burst out of me. I've said this to y'all before. I don't know why. I don't know how to explain it. I can only say this is just how God wired me, right? When I was a child, actually, when I was at a toddler, my mom would tell me that when I was a really small toddler before I could speak, and when I was in the stroller, I would just sit there and I'd hum and coo and babble and make beatboxing noises and you know, and that's just what I would do. And now, as a grown man, sometimes if you saw me sitting by myself, I'd probably be bobbing my head and making no noise, and you'd be wondering where the music's coming from, and there's just some elevator music going on in my head waiting for the next thought. You know what I mean? It's just what's going on. I'm just wired this way. I don't know. Joy of the Lord. But there have been times where I have been in that place of feeling like I'm just kind of left in the dark, and it's a frustrating place, and I've been in that place, and songs come out of there as well. Standing outside is the broken man, and he's singing that song again. That silent song, it don't last long, but I'm sure he'll be singing again. I've been in places of uncertainty, and I've had songs come out of there. I don't know which way to go. Where I'm headed, I don't know, but I'm walking. My back is tied, my feet are swole. Where I'm headed, I don't know, but I'm walking. The desert heat surrounding me, from mountain high to valley deep, I'm walking. Now these songs, they just sort of pacify me. I call it howling, okay? Because, you know, I'll be in the house, and you know, I'm let's say I'm stressed, or I'm going through something. I'll just start singing. I'll be washing the dishes or something. Very rarely I'm washing the dishes. Victoria might tell you, but I'll be washing the dishes sometime, and I'm singing, and Victoria be like, "Oh, here we go, he's singing." You know, I'm just saying, no, and I'm just howling. You know, I'm just howling. I call it howling because, you know, years ago I had a saxophone that I didn't know how to play, and I was trying to figure out how to just get a noise out of it, and I got a noise out of it. It was this long, high-pitched whine, you know, and when I did that, my dog, who had never howled in his life, started howling, right? He's a little Chihuahua mix. He's a nice Chihuahua, but he started howling, right? And he was just compelled to do so. It just came out of him. And that's how I feel about these songs. These songs just kind of rise up out of me. I don't sit down and write them. They just sort of come out, you know, sometimes. I do write songs sometimes, but sometimes they just come out. And they pacify me. And I think we all have, maybe you don't just sing songs, but, I think we all have ways that we pacify ourselves in times of distress and times of trouble, right? Some people might pacify themselves. Some people work out to pacify themselves. Some people listen to music to pacify themselves. Some people watch shows, watch movies to get over stress, right? Some people use drugs and alcohol to pacify themselves, right? But I think that if you have something to help cope with your stress that is healthy, right? I mean, I think that's a worthy tool. I think that's something you can use, certainly, right? If it's healthy. But a lot of times they're simply just a temporary fix, right? It's just a coping tool. It's not really a solution, right? And in the as it pertains to these songs, like these songs that I sing, right? Sometimes they pacify me, but they miss the mark, right? They miss the mark because they don't focus on what I should have my focus on, right? They don't orient my heart towards who it should be oriented towards, right? They simply don't joy in the Lord, right? They don't joy in the Lord. They don't rejoice in the Lord. And that's what we must try to do in the midst of these circumstances, in the midst of our stresses, in the midst of our weakness. We need to find a place where we can joy in the Lord. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, there's a part of the scripture where, now I'm sure you guys know the story of Nehemiah, but just to rehash it real quick, Nehemiah, he had the desire, he found himself, Jerusalem had basically, walls of Jerusalem and everything has been destroyed. People were taken in captivity, and Nehemiah just had this desire to rebuild it, right? And God allowed him to have that mission and to, you know, fulfill that mission. He went out and he gathered together the people of Israel, and they all worked together to rebuild this wall. And they came up against challenges and whatnot, but they overcame them, and they had this great achievement where they rebuilt. Everyone came together and worked together and rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, right? And after that, Ezra the prophet, right? He comes before all of Israel, before all of them, and he reads the book of the law of Moses, right? And I believe that's Genesis up to Deuteronomy. And he's reading the whole thing to them, which is crazy. But he's reading it to them, and they're sitting there listening. But in the midst of them sitting there and listening, what they're confronted with their ancestors and their fathers' rejection of God, the disobedience, right, that ultimately led to this toppling and destruction of Jerusalem. And they find themselves mourning, and they find themselves weeping, as Ezra reads. But Ezra tells them, and Nehemiah tells them, he basically says, well, I'll read it here. He said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet wine, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And he tells them, do not weep, do not cry. Sure, there are times for that. But right now, this is a holy day, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. And this word strength can be translated as stronghold or refuge. And we know that this is where we take shelter. We take shelter in the joy of the Lord. Yeah. His joy, but also our joying in him. Yeah. That is a place where we can go in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our stress, in the midst of our weakness, in these tribulations. So we must find it in ourselves to rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Jesus, I found my place in you. Jesus, Lord, you're beautiful. About as far as I can go. Don't you ever let me go. For I die if I'm alone, and I'm reaping what you've sown. So if heaven was a mile away, I'd pack all my things up and just go where you are. Oh, I don't know where you're going to, but I promise I'll go with you. If heaven was a mile away, I would leave. If heaven was a mile away, I would fly away. Tell this cruel world so long. If heaven was a mile away, I would land within its hills of gold and sand. And oh, what would I do instead? 'Cause Lord, when I'm with you, I swear I am filled with heaven. Heaven. My first piece of advice is to trust and rejoice in the strength of the Lord. We must find it in ourselves to trust and rejoice in the strength of the Lord. Before I get to my second point, I want to bring up the scripture, John 15, 9 through verses 11. I think I gave you 10, but 9 through 11. And talk about that real quick. Now, John 15, 9 through 11, it says, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love." This is an important scripture to meditate on, to consider when we find ourselves in these times. "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." If we go down to 16, it says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, that you should go and bear fruit." The point being, he chose us. He chose us. And he has loved us as the Father loves him. And he tells us to abide in that love. He He says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. And I just want to speak real quick about the joy of Jesus Christ, right? Now, we as Christians, we believe in a holy trinity. We believe in a triune God, meaning that God is one God, but three persons, three distinct persons, right? He is an immanent trinity. This term immanent trinity, it refers to, it is the trinity apart from his revelation to humanity, right? It's the trinity in eternity. Now, this term immanent trinity, again, it comes in opposition to this early church heresy of this idea that, yes, God is three, but they suggest that God is one person, and he just sort of manifests himself in three different ways. So to humanity, he basically, you know, he's one God, and then, or one person, and he says, okay, in this instance, I'm going to show you guys the Father. In this instance, I'm going to wear the hat of the Son, and in this instance, I'm going to wear the mask of the Holy Spirit. But back in eternity, he's just one person. And it begs the question, well, if you are, who are you, right? It begs that question. But the Orthodox Christian belief is that, no, God is one God and three distinct persons, meaning that in eternity, apart from humanity, God has always been triune. He is triune, and he always has been triune. He always will be triune. God is the lover, the beloved, and love itself, yeah. Right? That's what we believe. Now, I want it to be said that, so when Jesus Christ, when he was baptized, right, we see the Father say, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Now, if we were able to understand the Trinity in any capacity, we understand that God the Father has always been pleased with the Son. Just as the Son has always joyed in the Father. That's the nature of their relationship, right? God the Father is eternally pleased with the Son, and the Son eternally joys in the Father. Therefore, we can say that the Son has never had to do anything to receive the pleasure of the Father. Rather, it is God's nature to be pleased and God's nature to joy. Right? This is very important because we must understand that if you died with Christ, you were buried with Christ, you were resurrected with Christ, you were raised with Christ, and you are clothed with Christ's righteousness, and you are now deemed a son and daughter of God. It is God's nature to be pleased with you. It is not something that we do. We get to partake in this pleasure. And through the Holy Spirit, we are given, provided the fruit of Jesus Christ's joy. And we are able, by the working of the Holy Spirit, to joy in God. And Philippians 2:13 also tells us that, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Meaning that God, as he gives us the joy and the ability to joy in him, he also gives us the desire to please him. Not that we have to work for his pleasure, but he works in us the desire to please him. So I think it is important that we consider and that we appreciate that whenever we find it in ourselves to joy in God, which we were just doing this morning. Whenever we find in ourselves the desire to please the Lord, it is a working of a divine spirit, the Holy Spirit within us. And we partake in this pleasure and this joy. It is a gift of God. So my second point is to follow your desire to please the Lord. What I don't mean is follow your heart's desire, right? I mean, what you feel like, what way your heart wants to take you. I'm saying in the place you are at, in the midst of your circumstance, look around you and follow your desire to please the Lord, because we must have a desire to please the Lord in every aspect of our life. We must desire to please the Lord in our marriage. We must desire to please the Lord as we raise children. We must desire to please the Lord in the way that we work, right? We must work unto the glory of God, even when we're in a job that we don't like, right? We must work and unto the glory of God and desire to please the Lord with where we are at. We must follow that desire, and we can follow it because it is a working of the Holy Spirit in us. Even when you find yourself in a place, in a position where you feel like you're doing an excellent job, you know exactly what you're doing and you're killing it, and your bosses are praising you, you must understand that you must attribute that to God's glory and not your own. I found not long ago, my bosses, my manager had given me some praise and had told me that they're really appreciative. I was actually looking for a transfer, but he was telling me how you know, he really appreciates my work and my effort, my work ethic, and that the other supervisors really appreciate me. And that blessed me, not because, you know, it bigged me up and made me feel good, but it made me feel like if my managers, my worldly managers and supervisors acknowledge that I'm working well, that I'm doing my best, then I feel like that I am, my heart is postured correctly, and that I am working unto the glory of God, and God is pleased with that, right? Again, not that I'm working for God's pleasure, I have it, but He's put that desire in me, and it manifests itself in this way, and that makes me feel good. So follow your desire to please the Lord. Those are my pieces of advice. The first is trust and rejoice in the strength of the Lord. And the second is follow your desire to please the Lord as you wait for His direction. As you wait for the next move, where you are at currently, follow that Holy Spirit-filled desire to please the Lord. Now, I imagine, and hopefully not, but I imagine that there may be people, maybe not here, but there may be people, maybe Christians, who have searched inside themselves and feel disconnected, maybe feel like they can't even find the desire to please the Lord. They can't even find that in themselves. And maybe they've been going, you know, been in such a long battle of lostness and confusion that they've given up. Hearts may have been hardened. And if anyone ever finds himself in that place, I feel like that's a very dangerous place. And my only advice is to pray and to seek prayer. To pray that the Lord blesses you with a revival in your heart. And that you seek prayer, because I know sometimes we might be in a place where we feel like we can't even pray for ourselves. And we need our members, we need our family, we need them to hold our arms up in the midst of battle. So with that said, I would like to invite the prayer ministers up here. And if anyone finds himself in any of these places, in any place of uncertainty, in any place, if you feel like maybe you were left in the dark, we can pray for you. Even in places of confidence, just more of that, right? So I just want to end by praying. Lord, I thank you that you are the good shepherd. I thank you that you love us and that you have an everlasting faithfulness. That we hear your voice, Lord God. That we are the sheep and the people of your pasture, Lord God. May your grace fall upon us. May your grace overwhelm us and not our circumstances. May your presence fill us and overwhelm us, Lord, and not our weakness. Let us rejoice in your strength. Bless us to seek and to find that joy, Lord God. Bless us with the desire to please you, Lord. A strong desire. And lead us, Lord, as we follow you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.